Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Friday. It's 7:05. It's the 22nd, and I'm fired up. I am fired up.
Because?
Because I see a little town in North Carolina taking back its rights, saying, I don't care, ACLU. I don't care, you other people. If we want to fly this flag, then damn you. We're going to fly it. It's our community. It's not yours. I'm also joined by Bad Bob today. Hey, Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
And, of course, the sweetest of sweets.
Well, good morning. You know, Bad is wearing his bumblebee yellow.
Well, that, you know what?
He might not have on the Hawaiian shirt this morning.
Maybe that's what's caused this, is that you came in wearing Stingham yellow, that bumblebee yellow shirt.
Hey, I want to tell you what happened in history today, because I...
Wait a minute. Let Bob answer this.
Oh.
This is my Coast Guard auxiliary vest.
Oh, I didn't see the front.
Wasn't quite cold enough for, you know, full-on jacket stuff, but just enough of a chill, fall chill in the air, yes.
Oh, there we go.
Okay,
it's currently 7:06 in the morning. Weather today, slight chance of showers. Well, the slight chance is happening with a high of 65 today. So there are showers right now.
I think it's going to be showers all weekend, isn't it? I think we're looking at
it. Let me look here. Showers tomorrow. Rain. Not just showers. Rain on Sunday. 100% chance
serious
of rain.
Showers.
Okay, Slash.
What? Special weather statement that there will be a series of storm systems moving through Northern California beginning this morning. And if you're heading up into the mountains, please be aware of that and maybe be ready for some winter-ish driving conditions.
They said
slick pavement, of course.
They said it was snowing in parts of the parts of Colorado on this.
But we don't want you to be detoured for not coming tomorrow night. It'll be the first Saturday I'm singing up at Anselmo's with a phenomenal trio, Bruce Kalin, Dan Kinkle, just the wonderful drummer, and Johnny Gonzalez. So I'm really looking forward to that whole feeling of having, if it's raining outside, being inside the wine room with this great jazz trio and candles. It's going to be really
great food,
spectacular.
Great singing. Oh. A lot of fun.
John Stadelli. We need to get him back on the show.
Well, we got to do that. We got to get John back in.
On this day, New York City's Nouvelle Riche built their own opera house on Broadway in Manhattan, staging its first performance on this day in 1883. The new socialites now had a theater where they could have opera boxes. Unlike the old Academy of Music, where the box seats were few and the likes of the Vanderbilts were unwelcome, the new structure had three levels of 36 boxes, more than the number of millionaires in New York City. Old or new, the lowest level became known as the Diamond Horseshoe. The board of directors for the Metropolitan Opera House had free opera boxes for all performances. I think that's pretty cool. The Met remained at the Broadway between 39th and 40th Streets until 1966, when a 3,700-seat, 14-story opera house was built in the Lincoln Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. Pretty cool. And also on this day, you guys will love this, you NFL fans. In 1939, it was the first televised pro football game. It was telecast from Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, New York. NBC's flagship W2XBS carried the action. Brooklyn beat Philadelphia 23-14. NBC later changed those experimental call letters to WRCA and even later to WNBC. Love it?
They should have stayed with football, and they could have been out of MSNBC. Hey, you know what?
How about a little bit more enthusiasm there,
okay,
Carl?
All right. Hey, you know, I have enthusiasm. I started off with King, North Carolina. But, you know, today we're going to have...
Is that the city you're talking about, King?
Yes. King, North Carolina. 6,000 people in that town. We're going to talk about that if we come back from the break. But, you know, today we've got the Red Cross disaster people here today. But we got Rick Bassetti coming on at 8 o'clock. You know, all the days leading up to the election, we're going to be having our candidates in again. And on November 1st, the last day before the election, of course, we're having a debate between Patrick Jones and Ken Murray, right here in the studio. And it'll be a type of debate where we'll ask a question, they can ask questions, you can ask questions. And by the way, the chat room is back up. So hang, get in there in the chat room. Call us at 605-4567, KCNR1460.com. Go there. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, 7:13 in the morning.
Yeah.
North State, 7:13 in the morning. That's right. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Today is the live internet show. You're going to be just ripping and roaring. Questions, facts, concerns about what?
Proposition 19. We're going to be down there discussing Proposition 19.
What is Proposition 19?
That's
know,
the legalization of marijuana.
I know,
marijuana.
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, I see what you
Somebody's
mean.
Waking up, what's 19? Tell
okay,
me about
Proposition
it.
Proposition 19 is, do we want to legalize marijuana in the state of California? And right now, and today, the latest is that 51% of the people do not want to legalize marijuana in the state of California, 39% do, and 10% not sure, just don't want to say anything. We're taking the viewpoint here, at least I am, is that legalizing marijuana in the state of California is a bad mistake. It's the proposition is ill thought out. It's going to have a huge impact, and it's the first time I've ever seen Whitman Brown, Farina, Boxer, Feinstein, and cops and district attorneys and city councils and everybody in those positions agree that this is a bad proposition. The San Francisco Chronicle says it's a bad proposition. So why would we want to legalize marijuana in the state under this proposition?
I would point out that Brenda reminded me that the state of Alaska attempted this some years ago, and after a few years changed the laws back because between the increase in traffic fatalities and a loss of overall productivity and the increased amount of traffic at various hospitals, they determined it was simply a bad idea.
Well, it is a bad idea, but we're going to discuss this today with people that think it's probably a good idea. And that'll be down at Tobacco and Brew today at noontime, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And we're going to discuss that proposition and maybe a couple others. You never can tell who shows up. But the thing about the Proposition 19, am I saying this about medicinal marijuana? Have I said anything that about medicinal marijuana? No. This has nothing to do with medicinal marijuana, even though we all know that one's kind of one we kind of like. It's kind of like that strange uncle that sits in the corner. You kind of look at them every so often because they're making, you know, they're kind of strange. But medicinal marijuana is different. It comes under something completely different than legalizing marijuana. It is a dumb proposition, my friends. Even Obama's administration agrees with this. They said, hey, you legalize it, we're going to come after you. We're going to sue you. And then that's just what we need is millions more in court fees to tell us about something we already know is stupid. So, anyway, that's not what I was going to talk about today.
When we walked in today, there were the Oliver musical, which starts tomorrow. We have four tickets. This is for October 23rd. This is four tickets for tomorrow's matinee. And this was on, I'm sure it says KCNR, or, well, it says KLXR, but we're going to give them away now. I think it's KCNR. I've already done it. That's okay. Four tickets for Oliver. If you want to go with your family tomorrow to see the wonderful show, this is at the Cascade Theater tomorrow. It's Oliver the Musical. And you'll read all about it today in the paper. But if you'd like to go, give us a call here at 605-4567 right here on KCNR, our sister station KLXR. I'm sure Mike Quinn over there wouldn't mind. We just want you to be able to enjoy the performance. That is, there are four tickets this morning, and that's the Center Loge. Great seats, complimentary right here from KCNR. 605-4567. That's four tickets for tomorrow's Oliver. Take the family.
Okay, let's talk about King, North Carolina. It seems like the city council decided last month to remove the Christian flag from above the monument in Central Park after a resident complained. And then the ACLU gets into it with their threats. So what's happened after that is that this just happened to tick off the town. It enraged veterans groups, the churches, and many, many, many others in this city of about 6,000 people. And the veterans have launched a round-the-clock vigil to guard a replica Christian flag. That's right, it was a Christian flag. It had a cross on it. God forbid we put a cross anywhere. But here's what I'm getting at. the city, the people in the city said, wait a minute. We want this here. This is our city. This is what we believe in. It's a flag that connotates what we believe in. That, you know, that cross. And so they don't have the right to do that. They don't have the right because of the fear of the judicial system, of a judge making a change, much like the judge that made the change on a don't ask, don't tell policy. A woman who was probably never in the service, who said, "This it doesn't make any difference what kind of impact changing this don't ask, don't tell policy would make in the middle of two wars on the people that are fighting these wars. It makes no difference to her. Oh, it's just not fair. It's not fair." Well, in the Obama administration, even the Obama administration, hey, well, wait a minute. You know, even though we know how Obama thinks, he's, as he said on my watch, as if he's ever stood a watch, we're going to change this. Well, but at least they understand, well, wait a minute. You know, we did say we're going to go through a process of seeing how we can do this with the minimum impact on people in harm's way. Minimal impact on people in harm's way. We're going to do that first. Well, of course, you know, Obama would do it tomorrow if he could. But at least they listened to their service chiefs. So another judge has come out and said, hey, we're going to put a stay on this so that we're not going to go in there, so they will not have to start bringing, you will not start recruiting openly gay members of society into the armed forces, which, by the way, may be the result of this. If that's what the services come with, so be it. But don't you want to kind of prepare for this before, you know, somebody comes in, an openly gay male comes into comes into the service? I mean, who's that fair to? You know, there's been no training. There's been, and let me tell you, there's got to be training. There's got to be classes. There's got to be something done for our military that says, hey, if we're going to, you know, if we're accepting all, you know, gay members of our society and openly gay members, we've got to, you know, we've got to say how we're going to train them. How is this going to happen? How are we going to do this? But no, they say the judge doesn't care because the judge wants to be in power. The judge, one person, wants to change the lives of a million people just like that.
I would submit that the military's job, and liberals have a real problem, the military's job is to kill the bad guys. It is not to serve as a social experiment. That's just, is that hard to understand?
Well, let me tell you. That's, you know, they integrated the services first. There was no segregation. That was a social experiment, Bob. That seems to have been okay. I'm not fighting against the fact that if this is what the services want. What I'm saying is wrong is one person making this decision and having an impact on the whole service, all of them, without taking into account what impact it could have and giving the services a chance to do something. Anyway, that's been put on hold. That order has been put on stay. But it goes back to activist judges changing the lives of people, having an impact on people, and not really knowing the impacts or really caring. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl Lindebot. Okay, I just went off on judicial, you know, people making these judgments on about things that will affect so many people without really even thinking the ramifications of it. The judge in San Diego should be removed from her office, removed from her seat for what she did, with no concept of what she was going to do, with no concept of that impact. But we're past that now. Let's talk about free speech. Let's talk about being able to say something on the TV or the radio. Juan Williams, former National Public Radio commentator, newsman, was on the Bill O'Reilly show. And in the context of a long conversation said, essentially, when he's on an airplane, he sees Muslims in their clothing, in Muslim-type clothing. I think those were not exact words he said. It causes him consternation. It causes him some fear. He was using that in the relation, saying we've got to get past that. You have to get past those things. It's, you know, it's not every Muslim that's a terrorist. It's not, you know, it's not a majority of the Muslims that are terrorists. But because of what he said, the head of NPR fired him the next day. And she also used terms like psychiatrist, publicist, all these things. Well, the outcry on this has been tremendous, as well it should. NPR, which is has a reputation of leaning left, and in fact, George Soros supposedly has hired or is paying the salaries of 100 journalists for NPR. Now, George Soros is the one that, you know, bankrolls MoveOn.org and many other liberal causes, much like the guy that heads up Progressive Insurance. Did you know that? The guy that heads up Progressive Insurance is also, he inherited it, is doing that. But anyway, the thing about it, here's Juan Williams, who's a crossover type guy, who can talk both sides, and he's a very literate, he can look at both sides. Yes, you know, he's liberal, but so what? He looks at both sides, he gives his true opinion, and you know what? You like listening to this man, because he can bring out both sides. And what happens? NPR fires him. With, you know, and after he's been there like 10, 12 years, he calls up and he says, you just fire me over the phone, or they call him up, he says, you just fire me over the phone, what about a face-to-face? What about us just talking? There's nothing you can say. The head of NPR, this woman says, there's nothing you can say to me that's going to change my mind. Well, let me tell you, is this what happens when you exercise your right of free speech? That the National Public Radio is going to fire you? National Public Radio, which your tax dollars go into? What do they say in the chat room there, hon?
Well, going back to gays in the military, this is one of the guests. I mean, well, okay. What happens is you're saying something, they're typing,
right.
And so
okay.
It comes in afterwards. So if we're going to pay attention to that, which we definitely are doing, it's up and it's working. If gays can fight for our rights, then why can't they have the right to say they are gay out loud?
And that may be fine. But what I'm saying is, and I've, you know what? I'm not fighting against that because I'm not in the military now. You know, the thing is that this was something that they said when this came up, is that the service chiefs and all of the commanders of the services, they were told, okay, that we're going to do this over a period of time. We're going to find out the best way, what it's going to take so that people, you know, so there won't be a problem. So there won't be morale problems in the service. And but it's going to take time. To have a judge just say arbitrarily, we're going to do it now, is stupid. And in fact, it's life-threatening for both gays and non-gays. Is it fair to throw somebody in a place where, or an atmosphere where there may be hostility when you can, you know, before it's addressed? Of course not. Of course not. But to say that gays can't serve, and you know, but that's up to the military. It's not up to me. Hey, we got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming, and we're chatting there on KCNR1460.com. You know, this weekend, Stand Down starts today, my friends. At the Shasta District Fairgrounds right down in Fursaro Hall and Trinity Hall. And this is going to begin. Don't be considered a handout. It's a hand up to our homeless veterans. They're going to have a temporary homeless shelter there for veterans, their families, you know, and their pets. Food, job services, and unemployment insurance information. Veterans Administration benefit information. That's very important. And also court assistance with misdemeanors. For Shasta County only, of course. And there's going to be transportation to get out there. There's people out there helping them. There's a couple of tents out there, but mainly it's all inside. For more information, please call Jim Richards at 356-0342. That's 356-0342. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. That's one of them in the Stand Down. Now, what do you have?
Oh, when you say a lot of things happening this weekend, I mean, again, tonight is the Kevin Sharp show with Summer Chappelle. She was on my show last night.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. She debuted a song that is going to be on her next album. She's just a darling girl. So tonight, it's Make-A-Wish at Wind River. At 5:30. It's going to have a dinner and silent auction. It's going to be great. Kevin Sharp is the headliner.
You can get your tickets in at
Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner, one of great place. Mm-hmm. And also, you can just go to Wind River, but you should call them so they have an idea. that how much food. Except I understand last night they say, hey, we're just going to fix all the food. So.
And we're hoping that we see you tomorrow night out at Anselmo Vineyards, 474-5546. Perfect time to go out there where it's kind of,
it's going to be cool.
Chilly, yeah. And the candles will be lit, and there's wonderful wine and food. And I get to sing with a phenomenal jazz trio. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock is my debut show at the mall. I'm going
there
to be doing On the Spot with Linda Bott. We've got four shows. Four stores we're going to be highlighting. That'll be at 2 p.m. And the chat room, there's some really interesting. James Fossen has moved to Portland, and he's got some notes in there for you that are hilarious.
Oh, is that right?
About what he sees from his window. Do you want to hear?
Yeah. James Fossen, of course, was our city council reporter. He was kind of our Juan Williams of of KCNR because James James was more liberal than, say, me. But he would go to the city council and come back and with true facts, like I said, the Juan Williams of KCNR, and we did not fire him and send him to Portland, okay?
We miss him. But he says, for your eyes, Carl, I see from my window.
Okay, for my eyes.
Well, yeah, but it's also in a chat room, so anybody can see it.
Okay.
He just wants to paint you a picture. I see two Volvos and a Saab. This is what he's in Portland now looking at.
Oh, okay.
An Irish setter that I know must catch a Frisbee. Four Obama bumper stickers. Keep Portland weird stickers. One rainbow flag on a porch. Recycle bins as far as the eye can see. People bicycling to work in the rain. And a Ken Murray yard sign. Wait, that's a smudge. Oh, James,
we know
miss
what?
You.
He's right. Portland, yeah, James, we do miss you. You and Lisa. In fact, Lisa, we still have Lisa's voice on several of our commercials that are running through here. So they have people bicycling in the rain. Okay, they have recycle bins. All right, they have keep Portland weird. Don't worry, James.
See, that's
you won't have no problem with that.
This is the beauty of the chat room, because then we go from James Fossen with his eye in Portland and what he's seeing into gays in the military.
Yeah, what's wrong?
We're jumping all over the place here.
What's wrong with my trucks out there in the rain and that kind of stuff? Which reminds me, Bob. Bob, I told you, Bob, about this. You didn't remind me about the windshield wipers. So here I am.
You have smudgy windshield wipers?
I have no windshield wipers. They fell off yesterday.
Oh, dear. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I'm going to need to get windshield wipers before I leave today.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Anybody has got ones for Ford F-150s, bring them by, and then we'll put you on the air and say hello.
It's interesting the way people's minds work. So you go to any Napa Auto Parts on a day, or any auto parts store on a day like today, and there's always all these people out in the parking lot frantically changing their wipers for the first rain of the season.
And we've known about it.
Well, yeah, I've been watching the rubber stream across my windshield for the last week. Going, I need to change those. And we do the weather every day. We look out 4 days. Hey, it's going to rain Friday. Hey, I better get those windshield wipers changed.
Well, before we bring our guest, can I just go back into the chat room one more thing with the final thought on this?
Well, it's never a final thought.
Well,
it's
very a very heated debate or a heated argument this morning, or a comment from one of our people in the chat room that states, as our freedoms continue to be restrained and denied, no one will want to risk their life for our country, gay or not.
Well, here's the thing: it's not that in itself. That's a very strong statement, in the sense that if you don't believe in what your country stands for, will you stand and fight for the country? And if you remember, we are in an all-volunteer force, and you can take this either way. And it's an all-volunteer force, and if you don't volunteer because you don't agree with what's going on. If you're in the military and you don't agree with what's going on, you've got one of two. You've got one of two methods of handling this. You can, I'm going to do it. I'm in the military. As soon as my enlistment's out, I will resign, or I will get out. The other one is refuse to do it and then take the consequences. But if your country, and I'm not saying the United States is close to this, but if your country is doing things that you cannot personally support, can you join the military to continue to protect these things? And that's what that person is saying is an important point. So what happens then? Do you bring back the draft? And then at that point, you know, is it the type that if 300 warriors are better than 3,000 shopkeepers? Two realities, how things should be and how things are. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by BMP Satellite. Right out off of Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his gang out there put in dish satellite, and they put in surround sound, they put in home theaters, they put in everything you can possibly imagine with when it has to do with dish satellite and communications, and seeing something that's really cool. He's been in the business since 1985. He does great work. He guarantees his work. It's local, stay local, shop local, 244-1988. It's a good thing to do. Hey, you want to get this dish before the World Series hasn't started yet. All the big football games haven't started yet. The college is going on now. You want all that with that HD that they can give you. Okay.
With us in the studio this morning is a very special guest, Adam Short, who is with the Red Cross Disaster Services, and there's a new fundraiser that's coming up that's called Fill the Emergency Backpack. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Good morning. Thank you.
Get that mic right.
Okay, we're going to have to readjust your mic.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, we always do that. This is, people know.
Well, you're taller than the average, average person.
I was talking about a tall Adam Short.
It's hard to see.
So, Adam, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on.
Well, tomorrow morning, we're going to have a disaster backpack fill-up. And basically what will happen, it's in the Mount Shasta Mall, and it's in the southwest corner of the parking lot. So feel free to drive on through. We're going to have the Redding Police Explorers Post 93 will be there. We'll have the Shasta College Fire Academy will be there as well, representing our disaster services at the American Red Cross. And we're asking that you come out and just support the Red Cross. Drop in a couple dollars, drop in $100, whatever you're able to afford. Drive in through the Sears entrance and come through. And we're going to have our cadets out there supporting the Red Cross. And this is going to support our disaster teams throughout Northern California.
So tell us, when you say fill the backpack, again, I'm a visual person here. So do you give a backpack to when there's an emergency or a disaster? Do you say to people, here's your backpack? And just tell us, explain that to us.
The backpack is where people will drop their donations. But what we do at the American Red Cross, we offer vouchers, we offer clothing, we offer food. Anytime there's a house fire, for example, our crews will go out and they'll respond to the house fire and they'll offer assistance and, up to 72 hours of clothing, food, and bare necessities that they need to get by with. So that's kind of our way of saying, hey, this represents the Red Cross. Our backpacks carry our supplies.
Okay.
And so when you see the backpacks, pull out the wallet.
Yeah, the thing, too, is that, for a natural disaster, and after we get out of the political season here, we're going to have a series of shows about disaster. What happens for, in a disaster? Are you prepared for a disaster that's going to last, and that cuts you off, say, from food and water for 3 days, and 10 days, and 30 days? What about a couple of months? So, but part of what, part of what you're doing is that you've had a house fire, something's happened, people are going to need help. And
exactly.
The Red Cross, what a great organization, steps in.
All right, so tell us again. So it's at the mall tomorrow.
It will be at the mall tomorrow. We're hoping it won't rain. It starts at 9 o'clock, and we're going to wrap up around 1 o'clock. You'll see our emergency response vehicle out there. And, again, this season hasn't been a huge fire season, but everybody, nobody knows when fire is going to strike their house. We've had a number of families, specifically September 1st, we had a couple house fires, and our teams responded in the South County area, Cottonwood area, and Northern Tama County. So you never know when it's going to strike. You never know when a fire is going to touch somebody that you love. So come out and support us, and we're hoping that the rain will hold off. Thanks very much.
Well, you know what? Even if the rain doesn't hold off, you're ready for that. You're ready for that emergency.
Yeah, we'll bring our umbrellas out there.
You bring your umbrellas. You'll have your little ponchos and all that.
You got it.
Will they have yellow ponchos like the yellow vest that Bob's wearing?
That is a great question.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, if you're going to be out someplace, understanding, of course, the OSHA, that you have to have these vests on so that people will not run into you.
I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, that could be for
anything.
We'll
have to stay off the street.
That's it. If you're just running down the street, you're going to have to put.
So tomorrow, 9 a.m., Sears, bring stuff.
Yeah, and
okay,
again, it
now,
is
again, what
kind
of stuff you're looking for?
We're looking for the green stuff, the cash.
The green stuff. Oh, yeah. So you can't do goods.
Well, this is primarily a cash fundraiser.
I got it.
If people
okay,
want to drop off, you know, things like that, we'll be happy to take it and, you know, pass it along. So
it doesn't
right.
fit. Yeah. So what you're looking for is just $100,000. Somebody just drop it off. You
exactly.
know, cat they don't want, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Puppies, you can bring up. Can you bring puppies by?
Hey, if you want to bring puppies, bring puppies.
And then attach it to a $500 bill, though.
There you go.
There you go.
Put
now
a big rubber
not,
band.
You know, of course, we're joking. That's not funny. We are big lovers of Haven Humane here. And you know, but anyway, I will say that the Red Cross has personally touched my life, and we are great supporters in the fact that, you know, when there's an emergency or disaster strikes, never know when it's going to happen, that it's wonderful to have people who volunteer and are very, very committed to be there in that time of need.
Absolutely.
Who knows what it could possibly be. I just know what it was with the fire season up in Trinity, what it was like for those many people who were had to evacuate. And evacuation is a scary thing. It's kind of like, talk about humbling and where do I go and what do I do?
Exactly.
To have those people around you in a time of need is really spectacular. We're talking about the Red Cross. We're talking about tomorrow at Sears.
And what time does it begin?
9 o'clock.
And what time does it end?
1 o'clock.
Okay,
right.
So if you drop in there around 12:30 or 1, you go in, you drop off your money, go in, and you see Linda Schell.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for what you do. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning, North State at 7:54. How are you? Uh-huh. Slight chance of showers this morning with going to be
high. A slight chance? Hey, why don't
well,
you walk
no,
outside 20, and see how slight that is?
Slight chance of showers, and the slight is now definitely happening. Our chat room is open. We just had the guys from American Red Cross come in. John was out in the car. I said, well, Adam, you got a handle. So, John, we scolded John. He said, I got other things coming up. We're great. You know, we love John. He's you know, all Italian and cooks on
hey,
the A-team.
Hey, part of the A-team there.
He's fabulous. So anyway, slight chance of showers. Uh-huh, uh-huh, 20% chance of showers, but it's happening now. It's going to be high today of 65, so you know how to dress.
So, well, yeah, it's going to be it's going to be chilly. You know what we have seen, I think, hopefully, the last of the really hot weather.
We welcome that.
You know what? I'm looking at these. I'm looking at the headlines on different things here.
Rick Bassetti is in the lobby. He's going to be up after 8 o'clock.
Now, he'll be our, you know, 8:05. And there's been a lot. You know, the front page today is the amount of money being spent by both sides. You've got the, I guess you could, for want of a better term, businesses, the business community backing Jones Bassetti CAD. With the Chamber of Commerce, and then you've got the unions, and it is mainly unions that are backing Murray, Spear, and Sullivan. And by the way, Sullivan and Spear will be on next week. Will be on our show, of course, and then Murray, Ken Murray, and Patrick Jones will be having a face-to-face debate here on our show on Monday, the 1st of November.
Do you care to go back and to the? We're going to revisit. Because there's so people are chewing still on some things, and you want to move on to another topic? Because there's some really clearly some interesting comments in the chat,
including
room.
Ones we can't even say out here too. So I don't even want to get into that. You know, some of the other things too is, you know, like I said, we're going to be talking today at the Tobacco and Brew about Proposition 19. We'll probably be talking about a couple of the propositions that come up that will greatly affect our state. You know, the way the propositions are written sometimes are just, it's just, how do they even get on? How do they even get up for a vote when you read it? And then how can people look at something and is it like, you know, it's like, you know, we do not endorse or take sides as much as possible in our local elections. We don't do that because we figure that hey, anybody that stands up to do something for our community deserves respect and deserves a fair and equal chance. However, when you go beyond the city and county, when you get up to the state and feds and things like that, those gloves are off. That's why we're going to be weighing in on these propositions starting, you know, today and then in next week about the different propositions and then on the statewide elections. But here's my question. How can anybody vote for Barbara Boxer? I mean that. How can anybody vote for Barbara Boxer? And it's not... I'm sure she's done some good things. But she's been in there for, what, 20 years?
Would you like
more?
Her,
more.
Would you
she's
like her
been
to,
in there. She's been in there.
Would you like
How
her...
Long? How long has she been in there, Bob? 26 years?
Would you like her to come on the air?
Chance of Barbara
show?
Boxer coming on this show is somewhat more... I mean, the odds of that happening are not great. But Barbara Boxer, who voted for, you know, the health care, which she even said she hadn't read. Barbara Boxer, who is at the very best just rude to a military, to a general, during the hearings that she had called him to be at. Barbara Boxer, who is part of the gas emissions. I mean, all of these things. Our economy is in just getting hammered, and everything. She just keeps voting to go along with it. I mean, why? I mean, isn't it time for a change? Isn't it time for a change? But yet, right now they're running neck and neck.
There are those who suggest that maybe it's time for Wally to move on, too.
There are. Wally's been there for 24 years. However, it's like, you know, okay, well, so who's the opponent? Who's the opponent? Jim Reed. Now, Jim Reed has shot himself in the foot the last few days. We've had Jim Reed on, a personal guy. But, you know, this thing is term limits something that needs to be instituted, or don't we have term limits? It's called elections. Carl Owen DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our next star will be Rick Bassetti.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 8:05 on October the 22nd. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
Yes, sir.
Go to KCNR1460.com and you can join our chat room. And it is going pretty hot and heavy in there. And so and things that we can't even say on the air, of course, and about comments about different things.
Oh, no, it's
of course,
fine.
Bad Bob is here at the helm of the all the little dials.
And good morning. I couldn't help but notice the ease with which you, a combat veteran, were thrown off your stride a moment ago.
Right, when she jumped in and said, good morning.
Yeah,
this
like,
is my part. I have one 30-second spot in this whole show, Linda.
Yeah.
One 30-second spot. And what happens? You jump in and say, good morning.
That's
with your
right.
cute little voice.
Well, you know why? Because it's 8:06 in the morning, and it's starting to rain. So people are feeling that whole change of in their body of what it, when it goes from warm to getting colder now, and this, people are starting to, you know, get that
hibernate
scratchy
thing.
Throat. They have to do the zinc and the vitamin C's and all those things. So I thought maybe a little perky good morning was better than, bombs going off.
Yep. You are the very picture of perky.
You are the picture of perky. And speaking of perky,
well, I've been described as a lot of things recently, but perky is not one
and
of them.
And at least it's not peckish.
Yeah, right.
Another one of your famous words.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, our guest today is Rick Bassetti, a member of the city council and running for re-election. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl.
And welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're in the final, what do you want to call it? The final part of the race.
9 days.
Final 9 days. That's right. Till the 2nd of November. Now, Rick, I know that you were a baseball player.
Yes.
I know that you were a...
And still is.
Well, yeah, but he's a baseball coach, but he was a professional baseball mm-hmm. player. And I know also you were into financial, you know, helping people financially and other things. I did not realize, though, that you were so famous that you're having a whole parkway named after you.
Yeah, Carl. I understand. You know, I have no problem with you know, people. I mean, when you're a public figure and you're running for re-election and you have people who don't like you, it's fully understandable that people are going to stretch the boundaries, I guess you might say, of credibility. But in this case, I mean, there was absolutely no grounds to accusing me of diverting close to $2 million, to an organization like Simpson. So, but it's behind us. I think it's behind us now. I mean, I think that Mr. Ross did an excellent job of giving you the history of what the project really was.
We addressed it here on the show.
Oh, okay.
Also.
Yeah, and you know, but it still is. It's humorous that there's a lot of I get a lot of quips about it still. You know, out around at Simpson, we actually had a campaign meeting for the stadium here on Wednesday morning, and it's going very, very well. If I can mention the Pepsi Refresh program, go and vote for the Reading Community Baseball Field, not the Bassetti Field, but the Reading Community Baseball Field. You can go to, and you can do it at Facebook. It's Facebook / Let's Play Ball. And if we finish in the top two, we get $250,000 from Pepsi. They're using the money that they would normally spend on the Super Bowl ads, and they're giving them to charities now across the United States.
Now, you put that out on Facebook, right?
Yes, I did.
Because I saw it in the last day or two, for sure.
Yeah.
So if you just go to there and you vote, then you can then that means that we've got a chance then to get a grant.
Absolutely.
That would do the whole baseball stadium, would give us extra.
Well, it would top it off. It would give us $250,000. You know, we're right at that edge. We need about $250,000 to top off the stadium here. We will be breaking ground in the spring. We have some other avenues, too, that we'll be bringing money in. There'll be some announcements here coming shortly. The wonderful community that we are in Reading, we have some people who are stepping up and are going to step up very generously here, and you'll be hearing about that shortly.
Well, that's great. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the political side.
But
I'm glad we were able to start with that.
Sure,
a lot of comments on the chat room and
questions for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you've got a question for Rick Bassetti, 605-4567. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Here it is. It's 8:12 on Friday. All right, Friday, hon. October 22nd.
TGIF.
That's right.
And our special guest this morning is Rick Bassetti. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you, Linda.
And thank you. Glad you're here. I mean, there's a lot of questions in the chat room. It's time to engage. You know, we're right down 9 days left until the final outcome of who is going to be on city council. And you're running for re-election, and welcome. Let's go to the phones. Joel, you are live on KCNR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joel.
I have a question for Mr. Bassetti. Mr. Bassetti, I was just wondering, as far as the construction process of the baseball field, I was wondering if you maybe happen to know if the project was going out for a bid or if there is a specific contractor in mind that Simpson University will be using?
Joel, actually, Simpson is going to be acting as its own general contractor. We have a gentleman there who is a certified general contractor. And because of the outpouring of donated labor and skill sets that have been offered to us, he'll be coordinating that. There'll be parts of it, Joel, that will be bid, certain pieces. But we've got, like, say, the dirt moving. We have three different entities that want to volunteer their equipment and their time for moving the dirt. And then construction, putting up the backstops, things like that. We have a number of different groups that want to come in and help us with that. Right now, I'd say close to 70% of it, Joel, is going to be donated labor, and it'll be coordinated by our own general contractor at Simpson.
Is there any way that you could give out the name of that general contractor?
He's a vice president of facilities there, and his name is Ron Cushman. And if you have, if you want to donate some labor, you can contact Ron at Simpson University.
Oh no, I didn't know that Ron Cushman had his contractor's license. The only reason I asked is because I know that Dale Construction has contributed a lot of time and also resources. But I understand there's a lot of people in this town of Reading have a lot of concerns about Dale Construction and their establishment, just because they continue to not pay their subcontractors and also their vendors.
I really can't speak to that, Joel. you know, we're working real hard on trying to pull this together. There's a lot of people who are stepping up forward and offering, you know, and we felt that as a committee and you know, there's actually a separate nonprofit group called Add Some Color who's also spearheading. They're the ones who actually took possession of the stadium that was in Vacaville, and then they brought it up here and now are transferring that over to the ownership for Simpson. And so, you know, who's going to do what and everything? That's why we decided the best model would be is because we don't have $2.2 million cash just to go out and build it. So we stepped out to the community, and it, by consensus, it came back that we should be our own general contractor and do that.
I don't admit, Mr. Rossetti, I don't mean to interrupt you, but what part, you know, what part of the process did Add Some Color bring that stadium up here? As far as I know, Dale Construction did all the transportation. They went out there and hand-took the chairs out and parts of the stadium and delivered it there. So to say that Add Some Color contributed in the process of bringing that stadium up, that's not true.
Well, I think you might have a real argument there, Joel, with Greg Cattaray and Boyce Muse from Muse Construction, who used trucks to haul it up here. And Greg Cattaray, who took members of the Redding Colt 45, went down there, and they hand unbolted all of the seats in a weekend, 3,000 seats, with equipment donated by Sun Rentals out of the Bay Area that Boyce had arranged for. So, you know, there's a lot of different facts. Maybe there's stuff floating around out there. I know that Dale was involved with taking down the light poles and a lot of the heavy construction and moving and pulling stuff down. They did use some of their trucks to haul some of this stuff up here. But to say that they did it in their entirety is not correct. There was over $150,000 raised for it.
Hey, Joel, thank you. Thanks a lot for your comment. We have other people on the lines. Thanks for your phone call, though. Okay, let's go to line two. John.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How are you?
We're great, John. Thank you.
We're on air, and good morning to Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and, of course, Mr. Bassetti.
Thank you.
I have a question. I am a little bit incensed and concerned about the misdirection and disingenuous nature of the IBEW recent ads, particularly how you had a method of individually getting stimulus funds for a road to your baseball park. And I was just wondering, if you can do that, can you get a road to my place too?
You know, I agree with you. It was when I first heard it, my first phone call was to several people at Simpson University, and I apologized to them. I apologized to them because there was no reason. Hey, get a room. I apologized to them for bringing them into this. You know, they're a great institution. They're one of our larger employers in the community. They're a Christ-centered university. And for them to be, because anyone who's associated with me in that stadium was also going to be tainted with this. I mean, you're not just going to take $2 million of federal money by yourself and do this sort of thing.
I'd love to know how you did it.
Oh, actually, unfortunately, I was not capable of doing that. Had I been able to do that, I probably would be behind bars right now.
I'm sorry. I find it comical in a way. But the fact that this type of disingenuous advertising can be done legally just blows my mind.
Well, you know, and in the there was one morning when I was on the other radio station, and I asked, I said, are there standards? I mean, if you know something is blatantly false, are you required to run it? And the answer was, yeah, I guess, because it's not the radio station that's liable for it. It would be if you wanted to go after somebody or something like that. I had a couple of attorneys say, you know, hey, this is something that you might want to pursue.
Know, and we
basically, in the public forum, there is no slander or libel.
Apparently.
And you know, also, John, is that, you know, we took a look at that, and we played that specifically, and we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
And, you know, because we had gotten phone calls, we hadn't even started playing it yet.
I don't like politics on that.
Yeah, but the fact is that is it worse to censor? Then once you start censoring things like that, then it's kind of, okay, where do you pick? And then all of a sudden now you've taken sides. And,
I think the exposure is great.
Yeah, we as a community radio station that we believe we are, at KCNR, is that, you know, it's no holds barred. People come up here. That's why we have every candidate on several times.
I don't think, Carl, that there is a rational thinking individual that will believe that ad for a moment. But I think it's good that we can see where the other side or any side is coming from.
And, John, that's exactly why there was no response from me.
It's hard, I know that, to hold your piece on that one. But it did slander an awful lot of people. I would like, Rick, I'm going to get off the air because I take up too much time, but I would like you to address the comparisons of Vallejo, what happened there when they elected a slate of union-represented council people and how they moved their payment and benefits up to 85% of the general fund and broke the city of Vallejo.
Hey, John, that's a good question. It's one that's been hitting on the chat room, too. But we're going to take a break. But as soon as we come back, Rick will address that. It's Carl Lindebaugh. You bet. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, Carl Lindebaugh.
It's 8:24 in the morning. Good morning. It's going to be high today of 65. It is raining. Well, it's actually, they say, slight chance of showers. There's showers this morning. The weather story is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, 474-5546. That's the reservations for Anselmo Vineyards. I'll be out there tomorrow night with my jazz trio. Come out for a great night. It's going to be like candlelight and jazz.
It's going to be great.
Very cool. It's great to get away this time of year with all of the craziness going on.
That's it. And I promise I will not play my harmonica.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, our guest today is Rick Bassetti, city council member who is running for re-election. The last question before we had to take a break was the city of Vallejo went into bankruptcy, and the reasons behind it, would you care to expand on that?
Well, when they went into bankruptcy, over 84% or 84 cents of every dollar in their general fund was going into public safety, into fire and police. And they couldn't afford to do any of the other functions of the city. And so they had to declare bankruptcy there. And about, to be exact, I can't be exact, but I think it was about 10 years prior, the public safety went out and ran a slate and got their people elected to the council. And then over the period of time, the money got moved over, more and more money got moved over in the form of salaries and benefits. And totally legal. You can do that. And unfortunately, you know, it drove that city into bankruptcy. I saw the parallel. That's why I ran the ads. I had to remind the people here, you know. I mean, this happened once before. I wasn't making anything up. I wasn't, you know, you can go and it's all a matter of record. They did do that. As a matter of fact, I think they ran not just once, but several different times in elections. They would pick and run their own people in there. And so it wasn't a simple majority. I think they had a major majority for a good period of time down there of council members. And so, you know, and that was my question to the people was, is that what you want to have happen here? You know, we're already at just over 60%, which I think is fair. I mean, I think it's more than fair. And, you know, I just would hate to see it go beyond that because there's a lot of other aspects to the city, too. I mean, we need to protect our people. We need to be able to put out fires. You know, I do want to mention one thing. 4 years ago, I was invited to interview with the unions. I haven't been invited to interview this year with them. And one of the questions that came up when I was being interviewed was, would I support a sales tax increase for salaries and benefits? And I said, no. You know, I wouldn't do that. I said, well, what I would do is this. I would try to find every dollar I can so we could start moving to better equipment and more people on there so that you'd have less overtime. And there wasn't any real interest in that at that point in time. Of course, that was 4 years ago.
You know, John Wright was in here. Reit was in here yesterday also. He said, what's the, you know, he has seen this in another city where they train the policemen mm-hmm. to run the fire trucks.
Oh, he's got some great ideas. I think John was right on the money with some of those.
Well, and then we had a comment from one of our listeners who said, the question is, how much training, how much time is that going to take, and what happens if they're running the truck and something else happens? So that, I mean, so, which was also a good, a good question from one of the listeners. But there, I think we're at the point we're going to start thinking way out of the box if we're going to do that, you know, combining services somehow.
Well, and John had some good ideas, too, about the volunteers, you know, and then on the reciprocal, you know, help agreements with outside, you know, where he said, you know, he brought up the fact that, you know, we go out and help CAL FIRE, but if we're out right on the edge of ours, CAL FIRE, because of some labor agreements, they're not allowed to come in and help us. And, you know, I hadn't validated that yet, but if that's the case, I would really like to see that that is taken out of our memorandum of understanding because we do need to have all the help. When you look around how many different agencies there are and how many different volunteers, you know, my father has been on the fire board down in Anderson for 24 years. And so he sat through a lot of this down there, too. And we have some very interesting discussions about fire protection.
Well, you know, one of the things that is just a statistical fact, like 85% of when the engines run, it's out there to do a medical emergency as opposed to a fire. would you look at that and try to change that somehow?
You know, we did some studies on that, and I think in Reading it's even a little bit higher than 85%. I think what we would need there, if there was going to be a change, we'd have to have some real competition between ambulance services here in town. The 911s would have to be very well trained. You know, we know it's not a fire situation.
Yeah.
We've always been the first responders. The logic is they're there, they're on duty, send them out. But I kind of believed for a long time that that's how every fire department handled it, but it isn't. I was seeing a statistic the other day where 44% of the fire stations in the United States don't provide that. And I'm going, okay,
how do we get past that?
How do we get past that? If we have two or three different ambulance services, maybe they're competing for it.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's a to launch out the our best here, you know, to mm-hmm. to go down and to check on somebody that may, you know, to a cat that's in a tree. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but something that's not an emergency, maybe not even a medical emergency at that time, where we could send something else. I mean, we don't have community service officers, I think we have one left, but. There's got to be something we can do. Would that save us money, though? We got like 30 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, every time they go out, even if it's not a direct cost on salaries, we're using the equipment. You roll a $300,000 truck out.
That costs money.
It costs money.
Okay, we've got to take a break for the news. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Rick Bassetti is our guest. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Athens Avenue, DC Tim and the Man in Black. Give great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, you get a discount. And this is man's last stronghold. No Dr. Phil, no Oprah. This is football, NASCAR, and I think UFC fighting. Anyway, but these guys are great Americans. They support our community. They always have. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens, man's last stronghold. Our guest is Rick Bassetti, running for re-election in the city council. We talked about Vallejo and the impact that could be. We talked about the fire, you know, the fire engines, you know, the idea of cross-training. Proposition A and B. There seems to be some consternation or some misunderstandings. Could you run through this quickly for us?
Well, A is the measure on the pension reform. And basically what, you know, my logic for the measure A is that for about the last 10, 12 years, we've had many, many people in the business community have been coming forward and private community have been coming forward saying, stop the madness. You're paying people way too much. The city can't afford it. Benefits are not going to be able to be paid for. You know, they had Dr. Stephen Freitas came up and made that same argument. People just kind of nodded their heads, and they were ignored. The voices were ignored. In this case, the people are going to vote. Now, if they vote in favor of these measures, we will have a vote now that will be a matter of record. And so, you know, I've heard the argument, well, you know, councils don't have to pay attention to the vote because it's not binding. And I've heard people say, and it's not going to hold any council, and if I'm on the council and... you know, I can ignore the vote. That's fine. I go.
Well, does it make any difference what the vote is? I mean, really,
it does not. But I mean, but the people as a whole have never been asked, and that's why I wanted to bring this forward. And the amount of dollars when you see when it's done is not going to be $50,000. We got so much. It's paid proportionally as to how many measures and items are on the ballot.
I understand that. But the thing is that I think the consternation with it is not so much. You know, I understand what you're saying. Hey, let the people talk on this. Or speak on this, but it's a non-binding thing.
Well, and we've been told, and the argument has been that there isn't the political will to implement these. Well, the fact of the measure is we have one bargaining unit that is actually living under Measure B right now in regards to their health care. And that was the contract that we had to unilaterally impose. They went from having automatic health care coverage, 50% in retirement for the rest of their life, to the five-year vesting, and then the 10%, and then 2% a year after that. So we have the political will. We only had it for the last 2 years.
Well, you know, and that's a couple of questions that have been running through the chat room. But and one of them is, how long do you think the city is going to continue this downward spiral economically?
Well, you know, we've got three big buckets that the money comes in. You know, construction, industry, and all the fees and services, you know, that come into the city. We collect those traffic impact fees. Property taxes is huge. And then also sales tax revenue. Sales tax is holding flat right now. It's, at least it's not going down.
You know, that's a good sign.
It is a good sign. I mean, if you got to try to find a silver lining, that's one of them. But the property tax is the one that concerns me the most. It got so artificially inflated there for about 5-6 years when the easy money was out there. When you had people, 28-year-olds married with two kids, 2 years employed someplace, didn't have to have proof of income. And they could go in and they could finance a $300,000 home.
Income.
Yes. And now all of a sudden, with the inflation going on, the house goes up to $450,000. They go and borrow another $100,000 to buy all the toys they want. Now it's back down. When Leslie Morgan came and gave her state of the county and the tax assessments, it was so sobering. And I didn't feel in the community the impact that that had. When Shasta County as a whole lost close to $1 billion in property value, and Reading was 40% of that. And you go, how long is it going to take us to get that money back? It's going to take, in my estimation, talking to some realtors here, 7 to 10 years.
Yeah, this is not going to come back. And Leslie was on the show before that day. I think she was going to talk to you all.
Mm-hmm.
She gave those numbers here on the show, and we just sat there and looked at her. I mean, every property, thousands of properties, every one of them,
$1 billion worth.
Went down in value.
Right.
And it's like, how do you replace $1 billion?
Right.
And so how do you replace $1 billion?
Well,
how do you
we got to get jobs in here.
Well,
we got to get people coming in. Dr. Fruth was out yesterday talking with EDC, and it's so difficult for us here because we are in California.
Yeah, I mean,
it ties your hands.
People think that this state is hostile. Well, it is. This state is hostile to business in many cases.
Specifically to the type of industry that we've always historically had, and that's manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, because they've chased manufacturers right out of this state.
Loggers.
Yeah.
Timber.
When I graduated from high school in 1971, I think there was probably in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 mills in Shasta County operating, small ones, large ones. You didn't have to go to college, and you could go out and get a good job and support a family, and you had decent benefits. But the environmental movement came in and has just strangled that so restrictively. And there's still the demand for the lumber is there.
Yeah. So where are they getting it from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Offshore.
Japan. We've got to take who buys it from us and then sells it back to us, probably. Okay. We've got to take a break here. When we come back, I mean, we're talking generalities here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. One of the things when you were here last time, we talked about the problems we were having in some of the departments about how long it took to get permits, the cost of all these, and you had some specific ideas. We need to talk about those. What are those specific ideas that you're going to do that we need to at least jumpstart part of the part of our economy here? Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by the Back on the Groove, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Currently 8:44 in the morning.
We're going to have our, it's finest walk-in cigar humidor in the whole state, and we're going to have our town hall meeting at noon today, talking about Proposition 19, which looks like right now it's in trouble. Are we not going to legalize marijuana? Does that mean my plans for having a mobile marijuana truck go into neighborhoods and right behind it the ice cream truck to get the munchie vote? Does that mean I may be in trouble, right?
Well, you better make sure that your decibel rating is no more than 75 decibels at 150 feet.
Don't get me started on this one, Rick.
Okay.
Why
Sorry.
It even got to your level.
I know.
You know what? Somebody should take the city clerk who made that decision and spank them. Whoever, I mean...
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
I don't want to go.
Okay.
Okay, now we talked about specifics. We talked about things you were talking about.
Yep.
Uh, How do we change these things? What are your ideas?
Well,
specific ideas.
One of the specific ideas I have in regards to development in the community, because I do have a lot of associates and friends and people who are in the construction trades. One of the biggest costs that they have are all of our fees. And what we've started doing here this past year is we've started deferring the largest fee that we have at the city to at point of occupancy. Okay, so that means they don't have to go out and borrow the money from the bank, finance company, and float it until they can sell the house. So that's been a help, but still, I mean, I think we had 40 new homes constructed last year. So I was thinking maybe what if we had a one-year moratorium on all of our building fees? We're getting very little money. Our staff is down to about as getting as thin as we can have it down there. And so, okay, fine, then let's go and see what we can generate if we have a moratorium. And will the builders come in if they know that they're not going to be having probably about another $45,000 to $50,000 added on to the price of the home if, in fact, it comes off of the retail price of the house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something along those lines.
And along with that, how about when somebody decides to remodel or add on to their already existing home because they can't really sell and move up in
right.
this economy?
Right.
So they want to build out. But in order to build out, an extension, it costs them twice the amount of if they originally bought that square footage in the first place because of fees.
Those would be the same types of fees I'd be talking about. They still have to go through the process of applying for it, making sure that we meet all the standards and the codes of the city. One of the main concerns that I hear all the time from a lot of the people in the construction trades is they bring in plans with a stamp on it from a California licensed, authorized architect, engineer, whatever, and then we have people inside that pick it apart, and it meets all the requirements. I'm going, why are we doing that? It would, you know, instead of doing that, we go, okay, it meets all the standards, it meets the codes in this area, this, you know, so why aren't we just going through with those? And
what's the answer to that?
Well, that needs the culture inside needs to change, and we need to say that you know, it isn't how our individual engineers or plan checkers, whoever decide that the house needs to be or the construction. You know, one example was a gentleman wanted to build a shop out on Clear Creek Road. It was 8,000 square feet, and his fee was going to be about $140,000. And he said, forget it. I'll build it in the county. And so why? So are we better off him, you know, us not collecting anything, having him build in the city? Now we've got that property out there that has tax value, okay, and we can start collecting our taxes on it. As opposed to chasing somebody out into the county or down to Anderson. I have a number of companies. I was talking to an air conditioning firm that went down, relocated from Redding down to Anderson.
Absolutely. And why do they do that?
Well, because of the length of time that it takes us to get through the process and the process actually itself.
Well, let's talk then about the recent editorial in the paper about Kurt Starman being a good guy and being very knowledgeable, coming up from the city. Needing to step up. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that right now in the situation where we are, Kurt has been doing a good job facilitating what's been happening there. In my regards to the issues that I've had, I would agree that we probably should have be holding more of our department heads accountable for some of these issues that I was just discussing. We need to be trying to find, and I think Kurt is there. He has to walk that fine line. I mean, because he does have to, as the titular head, you know, of all the employees there, he doesn't want to have a mutiny there either. And the council certainly doesn't want that. But he does need to look at where the majority of them of the council is right now and start moving towards implementing those wishes, I believe.
Okay. That's all right.
Is that okay answer?
That's an okay answer. You know, the thing is that
I don't want anybody's head right now.
No, and I'm not asking for that. And
yeah.
I know some people always want somebody's head.
Right.
What I'm looking for is we've got the city council. We've got problems.
Right.
And we all, everybody says that. We have problems in some of the departments. That, you know, I realize that Kurt's got a tough job there, but somebody's got to go down and make those changes. And he has got to either have the people from the city council say, I'm going to back you 100%, or If they say they can't do that, then that does tie his hands. Yeah. So, and that's what I think.
And identifying those
about.
Problems and
yes.
you know,
yeah.
needs to be, you know, done well.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Rick Bassetti, a member of the city council running for re-election in the middle of all this.
You know,
first of all, I think we should probably take psych evals on everybody that's running this time, just to see really where are you here. And not just you, of course, but everybody saying, you know, you're getting ready, you're stepping into a fire here. I mean, literally, whoever it is stepping into a firestorm. Because it's not like, oh, hey, you know what? Next month, I can see it getting better.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Down. No, I won't. Back down. You can stand me up at the gates of
Welcome
hell.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it's our last 6 minutes of the show.
Weather today is going to be high 65 with the showers. It like Carl said, it's currently 8:54. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Today we are going to be out at Tobacco and Brew at 12 o'clock talking about Proposition 19. Your concerns, I'm sure it's going to be a full house. You want to get there, and they've got hot dogs out in front. Lunch will be served. I had a question in the chat room. Again, and it's been really a fun day in the chat room today. It's been
everything
a well-oiled machine. Okay, this
a
is
machine.
Yeah. Who would Bassetti like to? Oh no, what I'm going to go back to.
The last
why
one.
Should we? Well, there's been five that have come on since I looked over there. Why should we re-elect Bassetti, and what does he have to offer?
Well, what I have to offer you is a consistent voice that has been there for 4 years. We're going to be entering into major labor negotiations in these next 4 years. And my question to you is, do you want someone who has proven to be firm and fair? Okay, I mean, I know there's some people who don't think that I'm fair. Or do you want to have a slate of people who have been sponsored by the unions negotiating with the unions? I think that's a very easy question to answer myself. I mean, it's been played out before in the state of California. And that's one of the, that is just a defining moment, I think, here. And I can bring that there. I've been consistent at all of my meetings, and you know where I stand.
Okay, that's a pretty succinct answer there.
Yeah.
You know, considering how long this has been going on.
Absolutely.
You know, this. You know what? I'd like just to finish this, because the comments are, you know, mainly about, you know, who you are, and people know, mm-hmm. you know, who you are, but...
Down to earth guy.
That's what the comment was.
Sure.
That's the last 2 minutes here.
Yep.
Let's talk baseball.
Okay.
We had Greg Cadre on the other day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know, Greg is now were you ever in a World Series?
No. Okay. I made it to the league championships.
Okay. He talked about it. He was in a World Series.
Congratulations.
And I am not a big baseball aficionado. Anybody that knows me knows that. But the you know what are they at right now? Like the Giants lost last night. I mean, what are the players thinking about? Where are they right now?
You know, right now they're probably landing in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
At the Giants and the Phillies. I've been on those flights before. You know, you jump on a plane late at night, you fly back.
And these are all chartered planes.
Chartered planes. Your families are with you in some cases. Although Billy, when I was with the A's in '81, we were playing the Yankees. No families.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want any distractions for the team. You get to the hotel, you try to get your rest. Will there be a workout today or not? That's the question. You know, is the coach going to have us out to the field or not? Skipper want us out there. And you understand the magnitude of it. You know, it starts, you wake up early. You know, you're not in your normal pattern. You get to the ballpark early. There's lots of buzz. There's camaraderie is real high. I'm sure you've had it in your barracks before, Carl, before a big operation of some sort. This is very much similar, but not near what you did. But you have that electric in the air. And then you get out on the field and batting practice. And batting practice is packed. You know, normally batting practice isn't packed. You got people there. Everyone's leaning over. Everyone wants a piece of your time. All of a sudden, you got cousins from everywhere that you never knew you had cousins. You know, everyone's leaning, hey, I'm related to you. I'm your cousin. You know, that sort of thing. It's just thrilling. And then if you're not playing, you're sitting on the bench watching, and you're trying to keep your team going, which I did a lot of when I was there.
Stayed on the bench.
Yeah, during the playoffs. And so, you know, it's just such a, you understand that you're part of history. That's a small part, but it's baseball history, and that your name will always be in that book, and they can go back and look in those, you know, in that playoffs and that day, you were there, you were doing this. Yeah. I still have a part of my scrapbook when I went up to hit Yankee Stadium, and you know, as with the A's in the playoffs, you know, my picture and the name, and here you are up on the big screen at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And so, it, you know, it's exciting. It goes by way too fast.
Yeah. So how's that pressure compared to the pressure of running for an election like this in a hotly contested, combative election?
Doesn't even come close. I'm representing people here.
Yeah.
So I am decisions I'll make will affect lives. And there, it'll affect...
It's a game.
It's a game. You know, we get paid... Well, when I was there, we got paid to play a kid's game. And although people lived and died with it... You know,
and they still do.
Yeah, and they still do. I wasn't directly having an effect on someone's life.
Okay, wait, Rick Bassetti.
Well said.
You know what? And that's, you know, when I said, oh, it's a real war out here. I was in Desert Storm. They were talking about you know, in the, for the Super Bowl. It's going to be a real war. And somebody said, it's not a war, guys, because everybody gets up after the game and walks out and has a beer together.
Yeah.
Carl and DeBott, our guest next week includes Sandra Spears, Francie Sullivan. We're going to be covering everybody like that today at noontime. Tobacco and Brew, Proposition 19. Do we need it? What happens if we have it? What happens if we don't have it, really? We want you all to have a great weekend and join us tomorrow night. Up at Anselmo's, and tomorrow at Mount Shasta Mall for Linda's Store. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta, Redding.